Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
Show.
They got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black on black power moves. You telling lies, if you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, ha. We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth a crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coins, hell pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, and that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police departments to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prisons. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
We're coming to you live from WRBG Radio. Tonight we got a special speaker for you. He's up-and-coming artist. He's one of the new leaders and starting trends. Hold on one moment,
dog. Hey, man, they're ready for you, bro. Yeah, they ready? Everybody in there?
Attention, all soldiers, come gather formation. My African warriors to my thugs and gangsters. It's time to fight hard, cause our life is in danger. Stop practicing on each other and get the one that's a gangster. It's time to link up and form one big army. Unite all of our numbers, get them people up off us. This whole thing designed to get you broke or you locked up. But we gon' tear it down because this world belongs to us. I say march, we say step, rip, and come for the devil. You can see death in line, you got nine, what you saw. Yes, the queen, yes, the people, yes, the savior. What if you don't know your culture, come and let me activate. Just circulate the black dollar, keep the black dollar black. We was taught by master not to have each other back. Now we linking with each other, help each other stack, stack. Black pride, one nation, strong and black. That's what's down. See that jive that you seek, it ain't all that it seems. They tryna really let your black Wall Street dream. You gon' make it all happen like a king and a queen. But when you rep the culture, it ain't hard as it seems. We gon' march like Martin by the window like X. We gon' free our people by enemies next. Since the last Queen Omega showed us that we're royalty. And garments like the bread and bars are both to set us free. When I march, but they step ripping cold to the devil. You can see you pass their lies, you deny yourself. You're the king, you're the queen, you're the people, you're the rock. Tell them how to start a business. They bring guns, they bring dope, alcohol to the hood. They want you to sell dope, kill and rob for your food. But they ain't bring no jobs, so people dying for the food. It's Operation Us and we gon' operate on us. When I say march, you say step, rep and come to the dell. You can see past they lies, you got knowledge yourself. You's a king, you's a queen, to your people, you's a savior. If you don't know your culture, come and let me activate ya.
Here we are. Yeah. This one right here is for the people.
Smartest dummies can't read the language of Egyptian mummies. On a flag or a moon, and can't find food for the starving tummies. Pay no mind to the youth, cause it's not like the future depends on it. But save the animals in the zoo, cause the chimpanzee them a make big money. This is how the media pillages, on TV the picture is. Savages in the villages, and the scientists still can't explain the pyramids. Evangelists making a living on the videos of ribs of the little kids. Stereotyping the image of the images, and this is what the image is. You buy a car, keep on stand, all of a sudden you are in Indiana Jones. And I keep all the gold and keep all the scrolls and even the bird bones. Some of the worst paparazzi I've ever seen and ever known. Put the words on this place that the world can see and that's all that will ever show. So the ones in the west will never move east and feel like it'll be at home. Get tricked by the beast, but the way them a go flee when the monster is fully grown. Salamonic lineage where them two can defeat and them could have never clown. A spiritual DNA that prints in my soul and I will forever own, Lord.
Yeah. Sabali, patience. What the old folks told me. Can you get with that? Discovering a world before this world. A world buried in time. Uncovered with rhyme. It gets no realer.
We born not knowing, are we born knowing all? We growing wiser, are we just growing tall? Can you read thoughts? Can you read palms? Can you predict the future? Can you see storms coming? The earth was flat, if you went too far you would fall off. Now the earth is round, if the shape changed again everybody would have started off. The average man can't prove of most of the things that he chooses to speak of. And still run research and find out the roots of the truth that you seek of. Scholars teach in universities and claim that they're smart and cunning. Tell them find a cure when we sneeze and that's when their nose start running. And the rich get fixed up when we get cut. Wanna heal them broken bones in the bush with the wet mud. Can you read signs? Can you read stars? Can you make peace? Can you fight war? Can you milk cows, even though you drive cars? Can you survive against all odds now?
It's crazy. When you feed people the truth,
You don't know how they gonna react. You're scared of wrongdoers, people that just ignorant. You're scared of the truth. Be patient. For now. Who wrote the Bible? Who wrote the Quran? And was it a lightning storm that gave birth to the earth and then dinosaurs were born? Who made up words? Who made up numbers? And what kind of spell is mankind under? Everything on the planet we preserve and can it. Microwave it and try it, no matter what, we'll survive it. What's you? What's man? What's human? Anything along the land we consuming. Eating, deleting, ruin. Trying to get paper. Gotta have land, gotta have acres. So I can sit back like Jack Nicholson, watch niggas play the game like the Lakers. In a world full of 52 fakers, gypsies, seances, mystical prayers. You superstitious, throw salt over your shoulders, make a wish for the day, cuz like somebody got a doll of me. Sticking needles in my artery, but I can't feel it. Sometimes it's like part of me, but I got a real big spirit. I'm fearless, I'm fearless. Don't you try to grab hold of my soul. It's like a military soldier since 7 years old. I held real dead bodies in my arms, felt their body turn cold. Oh, why are we born in the first place if this is how we gotta go? Damn. To all the wisdom and knowledge seekers of the world. Savali. Patience. Yeah. Yo, turn this motherfucking shit up.
Most of the cats niggas got to go.
Negroes today with no badge or no white skin or no white sheet or no white anything else. The police the same way. They put their club upside your head and then turn around and accuse you of attacking them. Every case of police brutality against a Negro follows the same pattern. They attack you, bust you all upside your mouth, and then take you to court and charge you with assault. What kind of democracy is that? What kind of freedom is that? What kind of social or political system is it when a black man has no voice in court, has no nothing on his side other than what the white man chooses to give him? My brothers and sisters, we have to put a stop to this. And it will never be stopped until we stop it ourselves. They attack the victim. And then the criminal who attacked the victim accuses the victim of attacking him. This is American justice.
Yes, sir. That's right.
This is American democracy.
Yes,
and those of you who are familiar with it,
yes,
know that in America, democracy is hypocrisy.
Right.
Now, if I'm wrong, put me in jail.
Right.
But if you can't prove that a democracy is not hypocrisy, then don't
our
put
African
your hands
have
on
gained
me.
Their independence faster than you and I here in America have. They've also gained recognition and respect as human beings much faster than you and I. Just 10 years ago on the African continent, our people were colonized. They were suffering all forms of colonization, oppression, exploitation, degradation, humiliation, discrimination, and every other kind of Asian. And in a short time, they have gained more independence, more recognition, more respect as human beings than you and I have. And you and I live in a country which is supposed to be the citadel of education, freedom, justice, democracy, and all of those other pretty sounding words. We want freedom by any means necessary. We want justice by any means necessary. We want equality by any means necessary. We don't feel that in 1964, living in a country that is supposedly based upon freedom, and supposedly the leader of the free world, we don't think that we should have to sit around and wait for some segregationist congressmen and senators and a president from Texas in Washington, D.C. to make up their mind that our people are due now some degree of civil rights. No, we want it now, or we don't think anybody
can. Praise the Lord, but pass the ammunition. But when someone attacks you, when someone comes at you with a club, when someone comes at you with a rope, when someone comes at you with a gun, despite the fact that you've done nothing, he tells you, suffer peacefully. Pray for those who use you despitefully. Be long-suffering. And how long can you suffer after suffering for 400 years? So I just want to clear up that little point right there, because he says that we play on your emotions. And when you turn on your television tonight, or your radio, or read the newspaper, they're going to tell you in that paper that I was playing on your emotions. Imagine you, a second-class citizen. That's not getting emotional, it's getting intelligent. And as far as your mayor is concerned, I see you should say their mayor, a man named Yorty, who has been slandering the Muslims, a professional liar. Who has mastered the art of using half-truths. Put it in the paper that they broke into our religious place of worship and got records that they can use to prove that most of us have criminal records. You can't be a Negro in America and not have a criminal record.
Martin Luther King has been to jail. Please. James Farmer has been to jail. Why, you can't name a black man in this country who is sick and tired of the hell that he's catching who hasn't been to jail. Charged him with being seditious. They put Moses in jail. They put Daniel in jail. Why, you haven't got a man of God in the Bible that wasn't put to jail when they started speaking out against exploitation and oppression. They charged Jesus with sedition. Didn't they do that? They said he was against Caesar. They said he was discriminating because he told his disciples, go not the way of the Gentiles, but rather go to the lost sheep. He discriminated. Don't go near the Gentiles. Go to the lost sheep. Go to the oppressed. Go to the downtrodden. Go to the exploited. Go to the people who don't know who they are, who are lost from the knowledge of themselves, and who are strangers in a land that is not theirs. Go to those people. Go to the slaves. Go to the second-class citizens. Go to the ones who are suffering the brunt of Caesar's brutality. And if Jesus were here in America today, he wouldn't be going to the white man. The white man is the oppressor. He would be going to the oppressed. He would be going to the humble. He would be going to the lowly. He would be going to the rejected and the despised. He would be going to the so-called American Negro. To have once been a criminal is no disgrace. To remain a criminal is the disgrace. I formerly was a criminal. I formerly was in prison. I'm not ashamed of that. You never can use that over my head. And that he's using the wrong stick. I don't feel that stick. I went to prison because I believed in men like Sam Yorty. I went to prison because I trusted men like Sam Yorty. I went to prison following the philosophy of men like Sam Yorty. But since I've been following the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I have been reformed, and that's more, please. That's more than Sam Yorty and Chief Parker and all these other white politicians have been able to do with the inmates in the prisons of this state. They should give Mr. Muhammad credit. They should give Mr. Muhammad credit for reforming and rehabilitating men whom they have failed to reform and rehabilitate.
Mayor Yorty
referred to some press report that Mr. Muhammad had once been found guilty of contributing to the delinquency of a minor. He failed to explain purposely that in 1934, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad refused to send his children to the white schools in Detroit, Michigan that were teaching you about little black Sambo. That's the minor that he contributed to the delinquency of. You see, this vicious, fork-tongued white man has been able to take lies and make you turn against those who want to help you and make others turn against you. This is the contributing to the delinquency of a minor that this mayor, or man who calls himself mayor, is talking about. In the same article, he said that the Muslims are the same people who rioted in the United Nations. Someone should pull his coat and let him know that at the present moment, there are $6 million worth of suits leveled against two of New York's leading newspapers for making the mistake of charging the Muslims as being involved in those United Nations riots. We were not involved. And if this fork-tongued man who calls himself your mayor had taken the time to find that out, he wouldn't be walking into the trap that he's letting his ignorance lead him into. And if you take, if people take the time to read the Washington Post that came out the Sunday after that incident took place, the Washington Post pointed out on the front page that the Muslims had nothing to do with the UN riots. And they quoted, in saying so, the person who was at that time the commissioner of police in New York City. See, it's lies that the white man has spread about the Muslims to try and make you afraid of the Muslims, or to try and make you think that the Muslims were a criminal element, an uncouth element, and things that you would not like to be associated with. Also, they say that, I'm just clearing these things up, and then we're going to get into what happened. They also say that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was a draft dodger. No, he wasn't. He just refused to go to the army because he was a man of peace. He was a minister of a religion of peace. He was teaching peace. So he outright refused to go to the army. That's not draft dodging. That's intelligence. Appear before the grand jury. Because the coroner's jury is stacked against Negroes. The grand jury is stacked against Negroes. The press, the radio, the television, and the newspapers are stacked against Negroes. But the Los Angeles Police Department is stacked against Negroes. He is stacked against all Negroes, all except those whom he has appointed to high positions. The controlled press, the white press, inflames the white public against Negroes. The police are able to use it to paint the Negro community as a criminal element. The police are able to use the press to make the white public think that 90% or 99% of the Negroes in the Negro community are criminals. And once the white public is convinced that most of the Negro community is a criminal element, then this automatically paves the way for the police to move into the Negro community, exercising Gestapo tactics, stopping any black man who is in the, on the sidewalk, whether he is guilty or whether he is innocent, whether he is well-dressed or whether he is poorly dressed.
Transform like this, perform like this, which yells you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your fucking head. This that puts the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound, the engine in his like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a bitch, your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch, heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist, burn on side a jellyfish I gauge. See, my pedigree most definitely don't tolerate the front. Shit I been through probably offend you, this is Paula's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, burners, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead, redemption, scholars, fathers, dead, with kids and I wish fed, forgiveness, yeah, soldier's DNA, born inside the beast, my expertise checked out in second grade, when I was 9, on sale motel, we didn't have nowhere to stay, at 29, I've been so well, hit cartwheel in my estate, and I'm gon' shine, like I'm supposed to, antisocial extrovert, and excellent mean an extra work, and absentness, what the fuck you heard, and passiveness never struck my nerve, and that's a riff, gonna plead this case, the reason my power's here on earth. Salute the truth from the prophet, see? I got loyalty, got royalty inside
this is
my
why
DNA.
I say that hip hop has done more damage to young African Americans than race has done in recent years.
I never got my fucking life.
this is my heritage, all I'm inheriting. Money and power, the maker, emeritus. Tell me something, you motherfuckers can't tell me nothing. I'd rather die than to listen to you. My DNA not for imitation, your DNA an abomination. This how I dish when you in the matrix, dodging bullets, reaping what you're sowing, stacking up the footage, living on the go and sleeping in the pillar, sipping from a Grammy, parking in the building, diamond in the ceiling, marble on the floor, speeches out the window, peeking out the window, baby in the pool, Godfather goes, only Lord knows. I've been going hammer, dodging paparazzi, freaking through the cameras, eat it for a daughter's rock, wearing sandals, yoga on a Monday, stretching to the planet, watching all the snakes, curving all the fakes, phone never own, I don't camera stakes, I don't compromise, I just penetrate, sex, money, murder, these are the breaks, these are the times, level number 9, look up in the sky, tennis on the way, tennis on the way, tennis on the way, motherfucker, I got winners on the way, you ain't shit without a buddy on your belt, you ain't shit without a ticket on your plate, you ain't sick enough to put it on yourself, you ain't rich enough to hit the ladder skate, tell me when destruction gonna be my fate, gonna be a fate, gonna be a fate, peace to the world, let it rotate, sex, money, murder, DNA.
Now then, in order to understand white supremacy, we must dismiss the fallacious notion that white people can give anybody their freedom. No man can give anybody his freedom. A man is born free. You may enslave a man after he is born free. And that is, in fact, what this country does. It enslaves black people after they're born. So that the only act that white people can do is to stop denying black people their freedom. That is, they must stop denying freedom. They never give it to anyone. Now, we want to take that to its logical extension so that we could understand then what its relevancy would be in terms of new civil rights bills. I maintain that every civil rights bill in this country was passed for white people, not for black people. For example, I am black. I know that. I also know that while I am black, I am a human being. And therefore, I have the right to go into any public place. White people didn't know that. Every time I tried to go into a place, they stopped me. So some boys had to write a bill to tell that white man he's a human being. Don't stop him. That bill was for that white man, not for me. I knew it all the time. I knew that I could vote, and that that wasn't a privilege, it was my right. Every time I tried, I was shot, killed, or jailed, beaten, or economically deprived. So somebody had to write a bill for white people to tell them, when a black man comes to vote, don't bother him. That bill, again, was for white people, not for black people. So that when you talk about open occupancy, I know I can live any place I want to live. It is white people across this country who are incapable of allowing me to live where I want to live. You need a civil rights bill, not me. I know I can live where I want to live. So that the failure to pass a civil rights bill isn't because of black power, isn't because of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, is not because of the rebellions that are occurring in the major cities. It is incapability of whites to deal with their own problems inside their own communities. That is the problem of the failure of the civil rights bill.
Becoming conscious is linked to mobilization and organization, something we mentioned last year. We must make clear distinctions between mobilizers and organizers. To be an organizer, you must be a mobilizer. But being a mobilizer doesn't make you an organizer. Much confusion is to be found here. Malcolm X was a great mobilizer. He was a great organizer. Martin Luther King was a great mobilizer. He was not a great organizer. These facts can be easily seen from King and Malcolm. When Malcolm went to a place, he left a mosque. When King went to demonstrations, he broke down desegregation and he moved on. As a matter of fact, King was not concerned with organization to the point that even though he was the most popular Baptist preacher in America without the shadow of a doubt, and probably beyond the shadow of a doubt, the most loved, he could not become president of the Baptist, National Baptist Convention. Yeah, so many of them. The National Baptist Convention. As a matter of fact, if my memory serves me correctly now, and I remember it was Muhammad Speaks that carried the article on the front page in 1964 when King tried to become president of the National Baptist Convention. There was so much confusion there that a minister was actually pushed off the stage and died in the trouble.
Yeah.
And of course, King lost. The man who won was a reactionary man by the name of Jackson. He never did nothing for the people, never cared about the people, just was a pork chop minister who used their money to put gas in his big Cadillac. But he was organized. We say that we must come to know the difference between mobilization and organization, because the enemy will use mobilization to demobilize us. Mobilization is very easy. Very, very easy. Because since we're people who are instinctively ready to respond against acts of injustice, anytime there's one little act of injustice, we can blow it up and we'll find people who come and make some mass demonstration around it. Miss Sally lost her job. Let's rally. She'll get her job back. People will come and rally. So-and-so got kicked out of school because the teacher's unjust. The people will come and rally. They will come to rally at issues. And this is what mobilization does. It mobilizes people around issues. Those of us who are revolutionary are not concerned with issues. We're concerned with the system. The difference must be properly understood. Mobilization usually leads to reform action, not to revolutionary action. If we would look scientifically at the October 16th Million and More March, we would see clearly that this was a mobilized event, not an organized event. We must know clearly the difference between mobilization and organization. One of the characteristics of mobilization is that it is temporary. Organization is permanent and eternal. Clear differences must be made because the unconscious can usually be captured easily around one issue items, around mobilization items, but it's hard to catch them around organization. But these unconscious must be brought to organization. We must transform mobilization to organization. We say the enemy will come and use mobilization to demobilize us. Many brothers and sisters who've been to the Million and More March will say to you, "I was there." Well, what are you doing today, my sister? "I was there. There weren't too many sisters out there, but you know, with a million brothers together, you know where I had to be. I was there." And then, of course, you find brothers, "Yeah, I was there. I was there. I helped you. What are you doing today, brother?" If we're not careful, we allow mobilization to become events. The struggle is never an event. It's a process, a continual, eternal process.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to have just an off-the-cuff chat between you and me, us. We want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand. We all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed, that America has a very serious problem. Not only does America have a very serious problem, but our people have a very serious problem. America's problem is us. We're her problem. The only reason she has a problem is she doesn't want us here. And every time you look at yourself, be you black, brown, red, or yellow, a so-called Negro, you represent a person who poses such a serious problem for America because you're not wanted. Once you face this as a fact, then you can start plotting a course that will make you appear intelligent instead of unintelligent. What you and I need to do is learn to forget our differences. When we come together, we don't come together as Baptists or Methodists. You don't catch hell because you're a Baptist, and you don't catch hell because you're a Methodist. You don't catch hell because you're a Methodist or a Baptist. You don't catch hell because you're a Democrat or a Republican. You don't catch hell because you're a Mason or an Elf. And you sure don't catch hell because you're an American, because if you was an American, you wouldn't catch no hell. You catch hell because you're a black man. You catch hell, all of us catch hell for the same reason. So we are all black people, so-called Negroes, second-class citizens, ex-slaves. You're nothing but an ex-slave. You don't like to be told that. But what else are you? You are ex-slave. You didn't come here on the Mayflower. You came here in a slave ship, in chains, like a horse or a cow or a chicken. And you were brought here by the people who came here on the Mayflower. You were brought here by the so-called pilgrims or founding fathers. They were the ones who brought you here. We have a common enemy. We have this in common. We have a common oppressor, a common exploiter, and a common discriminator. So once we all realize that we have this common enemy, then we unite on the basis of what we have in common. And what we have foremost in common is that enemy, the white man. He's an enemy to all of us. I know some of you all think that some of them aren't enemies. Time will tell. In Bandung, back in, I think, 1954, was the first unity meeting in centuries of black people. And once you study what happened at the Bandung Conference and the results of the Bandung Conference, it actually serves as a model for the same procedure you and I can use to get our problem solved. At Bandung, all the nations came together. They were dark nations from Africa and Asia. Some of them were Buddhists. Some of them were Muslim. Some of them were Christian. Some of them were Confucianists. Some were atheists. Despite their religious differences, they came together. Some were communists. Some were socialists. Some were capitalists. Despite their economic and political differences, they came together. All of them were black, brown, red, or yellow. The number one thing that was not allowed to attend the Bandung Conference was the white man. He couldn't come. Once they excluded the white man, they found that they could get together. Once they kept him out, everybody else fell right in and fell in line. This is the thing that you and I have to understand. And these people who came together didn't have nuclear weapons. They didn't have jet planes. They didn't have all of the heavy armaments that the white man has, but they had unity. They were able to submerge their little petty differences and agree on one thing, that though one African came from Kenya and was being colonized by the Englishmen, and another African came from the Congo and was being colonized by the Belgians, and another African came from Guinea and was being colonized by the French, and another came from Angola and was being colonized by the Portuguese. When they came to the Bandung Conference, they looked at the Portuguese and at the Frenchmen and at the Englishmen and at the other Dutchmen and learned or realized that the one thing that all of them had in common, they were all from Europe. They were all Europeans, blonde, blue-eyed, and white-skinned. They began to recognize who their enemy was. The same man that was colonizing our people in Kenya was colonizing our people in the Congo. The same one in the Congo was colonizing our people in South Africa and in southern Rhodesia and in Burma and in India and in Afghanistan and in Pakistan. They realized all over the world where a dark man was being oppressed, he was being oppressed by the white man. Where the dark man was being exploited, he was being exploited by the white man. So they got together under this basis, that they had a common enemy. And when you and I here in Detroit and in Michigan and in America, who have been awakened today, look around us, we too realize here in America, we all have a common enemy. Whether he's in Georgia or Michigan, whether he's in California or New York, he's the same man. Blue eyes and blonde hair and pale skin. Same man. So what we have to do is what they did. They agreed to stop quarreling among themselves. Any little spat that they had, they'd settle it among themselves. Go into a huddle. Don't let the enemy know that you got a disagreement. Instead of us airing our differences in public, we have to realize we're all the same family. And when you have a family squabble, you don't get out on the sidewalk. If you do, everybody calls you uncouth, unrefined, uncivilized, savage. If you don't make it at home, you settle it at home. You get in the closet. Argue it out behind closed doors. And then when you come out on the street, you pose a common front, a united front. And this is what we need to do in the community and in the city and in the state. We need to stop airing our differences in front of the white man. Put the white man out of our meeting, number one. And then sit down and talk shop with each other. That's all you gotta do. I would like to make a few comments concerning the difference between the black revolution and the Negro revolution. There's a difference. Are they both the same? And if they're not, what is the difference? What is the difference between a black revolution and a Negro revolution? First, what is a revolution? Sometimes I'm inclined to believe that many of our people are using this word revolution loosely, without taking careful consideration what this word actually means and what its historic characteristics are. When you study the historic nature of revolution, the motive of a revolution, the objective of a revolution, and the result of a revolution, and the methods used in a revolution, you may change words. You may devise another program. You may change your goal and you may change your mind. Look at the American Revolution in 1776. That revolution was for what? For land. How was it? Why did they want land? Independence. How was it carried out? Bloodshed. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Number one, it was based on land. The basis of independence. And the only way they could get it was bloodshed. The French Revolution, what was it based on? The landless against the landlord. What was it for? Land. How did they get it? Bloodshed. Was no love lost. Was no compromise. Was no negotiation. I'm telling you, you don't know what a revolution is. Because when you find out what it is, you'll get back in the alley. You'll get out of the way. The moment, the Russian Revolution, what was it based on? Land, the landless against the landlord. How did they bring it about? Bloodshed. You haven't got a revolution that doesn't involve bloodshed, and you're afraid to bleed. I said you're afraid to bleed. Long as the white man sent you to Korea, you bled. He sent you to Germany, you bled. He sent you to the South Pacific to fight the Japanese, you bled. You bleed for white people. But when it comes time to seeing your own churches being bombed and little black girls murdered, you haven't got no blood. You bleed when the white man says bleed. You bite when the white man says bite. And you bark when the white man says bark. I hate to say this about us, but it's true. How are you going to be nonviolent in Mississippi as violent as you were in Korea? How
How can you justify being nonviolent in Mississippi and Alabama when your churches are being bombed and your little girls are being murdered, and at the same time you're going to get violent with Hitler and Tojo and somebody else that you don't even know? If violence is wrong in America, violence is wrong abroad. If it's wrong to be violent, defending black women and black children and black babies and black men, then it's wrong for America to draft us and make us violent abroad in defense of her. The Chinese Revolution. They wanted land. They threw the British out, along with the Uncle Tom Chinese. Yeah, they did. They set a good example. When I was in prison, I read an article, and don't be shocked when I say I was in prison. You're still in prison. That's what America means, prison. When I was in prison, I read an article in Life magazine showing a little Chinese girl, 9 years old. Her father was on his hands and knees, and she was pulling the trigger because he was an Uncle Tom Chinaman. Yeah. When they had the revolution over there, they took a whole generation of Uncle Toms, right, just wiped them out. Yeah, right. And within 10 years, that little girl became a full-grown woman. No more Toms in China. And today is one of the toughest, roughest, most feared countries on this earth by the white man, because there are no Uncle Toms over there. Of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward all research. And when you see that you got problems, all you have to do is examine the historic method used all over the world by others who had problems similar to yours. And once you see how they got theirs straight, then you know how you can get yours straight. There's been a revolution, a black revolution, going on in Africa. In Kenya, the Mau Mau were revolutionaries. They were the ones who made the word Uhuru. They were the ones who brought it to the fore. The Mau Mau, they were revolutionaries. They believed in scorched earth. They knocked everything aside that got in their path. And their revolution also was based on land, a desire for land. In Algeria, the northern part of Africa, a revolution took place. The Algerians were revolutionaries. They wanted land. France offered to let them be integrated into France. They told France to hell with France. They wanted some land, not some France. And they engaged in a bloody battle. So I cite these various revolutions, brothers and sisters, to show you, you don't have a peaceful revolution. You don't have a turn-the-other-cheek revolution. There's no such thing as a nonviolent revolution. Only kind of revolution that's nonviolent is the Negro Revolution. The only revolution based on loving your enemy is the Negro Revolution. The only revolution in which the goal is a desegregated lunch counter, a desegregated theater, a desegregated park, and a desegregated public toilet. You can sit down next to white folks on the toilet. That's no revolution. Revolution is based on land. Land is the basis of all independence. Land is the basis of freedom, justice, and equality. The white man knows what a revolution is. He knows that the black revolution is worldwide in scope and in nature. The black revolution is sweeping Asia, sweeping Africa. It's rearing its head in Latin America. The Cuban revolution, that's a revolution. They overturned the system. Revolution is in Asia. Revolution is in Africa. And the white man is screaming because he sees revolution in Latin America. How do you think he'll react to you when you learn what a real revolution is? You don't know what a revolution is. If you did, you wouldn't use that word. A revolution is bloody. Revolution is hostile. Revolution knows no compromise. Revolution overturns and destroys everything that gets in its way. And you sitting around here like a knot on these folks, no matter how much they hate me. No, you need a revolution. Who ever heard of a revolution where they lock arms, as Reverend Cleague was pointing out beautifully, singing, "We Shall Overcome." Just tell me you don't do that in a revolution. You don't do any singing. You're too busy swinging. It's based on land. A revolutionary wants land so he can set up his own nation.
That's right.
An independent nation.
That's right.
These Negroes aren't asking for no nation. They're trying to crawl back on the plantation. When you want a nation, that's called nationalism. When the white man became involved in a revolution in this country against England, what was it for? He wanted this land so he could set up another white nation. That's white nationalism. The American Revolution was white nationalism. The French Revolution was white nationalism. The Russian Revolution too, yes, it was white nationalism. You don't think so? Why you think Khrushchev and Mao can't get their heads together? White nationalism. All the revolutions that's going on in Asia, in Africa today, are based on what? Black nationalism. A revolutionary is a black nationalist. He wants a nation. I was reading some beautiful words by Reverend Cleague pointing out why he couldn't get together with someone else here in the city. Because all of them were afraid of being identified with black nationalism. If you're afraid of black nationalism, you're afraid of revolution. And if you love revolution, you love black nationalism.
Black Power family here live on New Black Panther Party Radio. Yes, family, you're live once again. This part two, as we honor our great ancestor, the great, honorable Malcolm X. And we also heard in that same light from our great ancestor, Kwame Ture. We welcome you here to New Black Panther Party Radio. Call in right now, 718-664-6398. Press the number one to go live here tonight, the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, under our National Chairwoman, Sister Krista Muhammad. You're live here tonight with your host, National Chief of Staff, Brother Kathir Sadiq, day 439, as we continue to honor our great, legendary, honorable ancestor, Malcolm X, Malik, El-Haj, Shabazz, Malcolm X, as we had presented to us tonight with our powerful introduction, and we had answered tonight, as we have had many times before. But for those who may not have caught the drift, as we continue to be enslaved in this wicked nation, we've had to have it clarified for us time and time again, what is Black Revolution? That was the topic. That was the message. That is the mission that we are still striving for as we broadcast here right now. Now is the time to get on the front line with the revolutionaries in our cities. Right now it is time for us to step to the issues that we face as a Black nation. Let us understand and take very close to our hearts and our minds what we are hearing, as we are even privileged to be hearing the great legendary wisdom of Malcolm X, of Kwame Ture. It is truly a privilege to be able to broadcast on a platform that is able to present such great legacy, and we're able to give this broadcast in the honor of our great ancestor. We struggle at a time, family. Now is the time to get on the front line. It's time to join the new Black Panther Party. It's time to become a militant in the Black nationalist struggle for our liberation. Visit our national website, mbpp.org, to join the new Black Panther Party for self-defense. We struggle at a time, family, as we just had it clarified tonight by our great ancestors. We struggle at a time of great tragedy, great oppression, repression, degradation, and exploitation. We struggle at a time where the worst tragedies have come to our home, affect our families every day. Crimes of the worst kind. Crimes that we commit due to the crimes that have been committed against us. No Black family should have to live in the horrid conditions of violence and the wicked warfare that is targeted at our people. And as we heard from our great ancestor, it's Malcolm X, he teaches, and he was, as we played tonight, talking about how the grand jury, how the press, how the even the coroner, how the police are stacked against our people. And we witness this on a day-to-day basis. Nobody can deny it, especially those that hold these positions on the grand jury and the pigs, the Uncle Toms, the press. Our great ancestor Malcolm X teaches us to watch out for the dangers of the controlled press who paint the Black community as a criminal element. He talks about how through this painting the Black community as a criminal element, then it becomes a police state. And through that we become a police state, then we see the pigs as they go through the streets of America killing Black people, killing young Black men and Black women, and killing Black folks in general. It doesn't matter who the pig is or what race the pig is. It is simply the occupation of the police, of the pig, its history and its birth on where it comes from. And we ended last night's broadcast and the first part of this honoring the wisdom and the work of our great ancestor and the legacy. We ended, and our great ancestor Malcolm X, he was talking about how the Klansmen, how they were going to take the hoods off the Klansmen. But we now recognize today that the pigs wear the badges and uniform of the modern day Klansmen, and they kill Black people every day. As we had clarified tonight for us, what is Black Revolution? We heard as Malcolm X, as he pointed to the fact that as it stands then and it still stands today, we have had the chains from chattel slavery removed. We have been in some ways more recognizable than not. We have been removed from the old style colonial big house, small house, little house plantations, but we are still on the plantation of America, and we are still caught under slave occupation as we are occupied by a military regime. So when Malcolm X said that we are ex-slaves, in fact, as sad as it is, it remains true today as a few of the masses work and fight to get free on the liberation front. We see the masses of black people continue to struggle with the slave mentality and the post-traumatic slave syndrome and the result of a wicked oppression that we continue to experience in this nation. So it matters not what we say or how much we say that we love Malcolm, because we should love our ancestors. Do we recognize that the things that he highlighted for us to attack as marching orders have not been completed? And many of these issues still remain issues today. We cannot avoid the fact. We are living in a time as same as the time that was pronounced on the beginning of in the beginning of this broadcast by our great ancestor, where there is revolution brewing all over the world, a black revolution in particular. We recognize in the new Black Panther Party that there is no love lost in this battle for liberation. There is no compromise in this war for our freedom and independence. We must then do as Malcolm X instructed us to do if we were listening carefully and do listen. He instructed us to recognize the objectives, to recognize the goals, to recognize the results, and to recognize the methods of revolution. He asked for us to recognize the objectives, recognize the goals, recognize the results and the methods used for revolution, teaching us that of all of our studies, how history is best qualified to reward our research. Our great ancestor teaches us that it is when we see that we've got problems, and then all we have to do then is examine the historic methods used all over the world by others who have problems similar to ours, and we will get ours straight as they got theirs straight. All of this is known and is simply for us marching orders. The bottom line for how we must approach the situations as revolutionaries. Comrades, family, we must look at the objectives of a black revolution. It's for real reasons that we must recognize this, because we find ourselves today struggling with the same issues that were addressed by our great ancestor. Then that means that the fight must intensify, and when we recognize and we examine where we are in the battle, we recognize that the war in general is intensifying on every front. It is intensifying on every front. We take out the time here on New Black Panther Party Radio that we know that it is not over. The senseless murder, the brutal senseless murder of Sanam and Hotep will not be accepted. We're not just accepting this. It shows the nature of our communities. And as we struggle for liberation, what is the goal and the objectives if it is not to remove the wicked murders that come from the hands of our own people on our own people? But it seems that many of us only want to pretend to be revolutionaries. We only want to pretend to fight revolution. We only want to fight revolution in front of the camera. That is not the objective. The objective of revolution is not to be Facebook famous or Instagram popping. That is not the objective of revolution. The objective of revolution is to get free. And it is, has been stated to us for over 50, 60 years now by our great ancestor Malcolm X, we ain't free, niggas. We ain't free. And until we get free, we should not feel any type of good feeling, or you want to feel like we have truly made an accomplishment, but the biggest accomplishment is to breathe free. Sure, we have some victories, and we should celebrate those victories. But when it is all said and done, revolution, and the objective of revolution is to get free. It's not just to be heard. It's not just to be seen. It's not just to be wearing all black in a BDU screaming black power. It's not just to have an organization. Many of us should take what we played of Kwame Ture as he talked about mobilization and organization. Many of us should examine what he said about mobilization and organization. Many of us who are calling ourselves revolutionaries should examine this. It's not just about what we say, it's what we do. And if what we do does not back what we say, then of course there is no balance. Then I mean it is not 100. If there is scandal and lies that are propagated, about the revolutionaries who have been tried, true, and proven here in modern day, in this modern day struggle for liberation in the hells of North America, goddammit, then these people must be identified, and then there must be disciplinary action put against them. They are doing the work of the government, who we learned from our great teachers will use, as Malcolm X said, the controlled press. The controlled press to press down on the black community. It is the introduction of crack into our communities. But the introduction of the cracker came first. The problem's the goddamn white man. And the introduction of crack into our communities made it easier for the controlled press to paint the black community as a criminal element. It is through these biological attacks on the black community, not just crack, AIDS, HIV, coronavirus, Ebola internationally. These things, as Malcolm X says, the coroner who is a part of the establishment of America, which we can then think, as no, he didn't say it, but the medical apartheid is also stacked against us. And this is how we find ourselves being biologically attacked by this goddamn white man. And in every which way you try to switch it, brother and sister, you're going to find yourself coming back to the same conclusion. We got to get free, and we need a revolution. And the real way to have a revolution is to go for what is right for the people, not what is right for you or what best suits you. And although we are the people, we must think humble. We must think disciplined and be willing to sacrifice our lower and personal desires for the greater good of the mission. Revolution must, as we heard from our great ancestor Malcolm X, it must overturn and destroy everything that it comes in contact with. That's what he says. He says it should overturn and destroy everything that it comes in contact with. That is the mentality of a revolution. Therefore, it should be the mentality of a revolutionary. Nothing should hold us back. Nothing should truly be an obstacle. If we're overturning and destroying, then what then can the white man place in front of us that would stop us? If then truly we call ourselves revolutionaries, we should do as we have been instructed to do in the great speech given years ago by Malcolm X. What is black revolution? When he instructs for us to identify the objectives, the goals, the results, and the method used in revolution. He talked about the Mau Mau family. He talked about the Kenyan revolution, how the Kenyan people of Kenya, who before the white man came to Kenya, if we are to examine history, you find communities in Kenya who exist today. One of those large communities, if we study the Mau Mau rebellion of the Kikuyu people, or the Kikuyu tribe, but you have the Agikuyu. You have the Maasai, who still today we know as some of the tallest people in the world. You may be familiar with that tribe as it's become popular in the Western as we study for knowledge itself. You may be familiar with the Maasai people, the very tall tribe of black people out of Kenya. You also had tribes like the Samburu tribe, who are native to Kenya, but for the sake of history, as Malcolm tells us, it is best qualified if we find to reward our research, we'll focus in on the Kikuyu people, who are Bantu people, Bantu language. They spoke of the Bantu language, or the Bantu group of language coming out of central Kenya, who are native to central Kenya. And it was the British who came into Kenya at the time and pushed the Agakuyu, the Maasai, but predominantly the Kikuyu people out of central Kenya into what they then call Nairobi as the capital of Kenya. These tribes of people coming from a stock, raising stock and coming from agriculture, but a people of great defense, a great knowledge of self-defense and war that had to defend their land plenty of times from this goddamn white man. It is during the Mau Mau Rebellion that we find the phrase Uhuru. It is during the Mau Mau Rebellion that we see armed militias in Kenya, in the forest, in the Abazadi forest, in Mount Kenya, and all through Kenya, where we find the greatest battles in and around what is now Mount Kenyan Historical Park, right? And we know then when we study the Mau Mau Rebellion, as we're using history to best suit, and we can see what the Kenyan people did at this time. As armed militia, black nationalists who were tired of the British crown repressing and oppressing Kenyan people, who were tired of being starved and being economically exploited by the British, sick and tired of being tired. Again, we see seen in the late 1940s, 1950s, the great Mau Mau Rebellion, as we've seen armed militia in the forest, in the mountains, fighting off the so-called British settlers, nothing but a bunch of goddamn devils who had no business there, as they have no business anywhere but in the Caucasus Mountains, and ain't even got no business there. Even so, we've seen all of the backlash. We then studied the Mau Mau Rebellion. You'll find that it was then in 1952, October of 1952, the British Empire then goes and declares a state of emergency, not only in Kenya and Nairobi, but also in the UK, right? We've seen the political blowback, because soon after Kenya declares its independence, gains its independence in 1963, but then we see the political blowback as they went after Jomo Kenyatta, who was a native Kikuyu tribesman. They go after him because of his popularity with the people who are fighting the revolution. He would, to make a long story short, family, and we should study the Mau Mau Rebellion, he would then be released and become the first prime minister of Kenya. This is the rebellion that Malcolm was talking about. We should take the things that our ancestors are saying, not as just something that is on a play track or video, but we should go and do the knowledge. What are the instructions that have been given for us to look into the objectives, goals, results, and methods of a black revolution? As it's been clarified to us time and time again on what is Black Revolution, you're live here on New Black Panther Party Radio. Call in right now, 718-664-6398. Press the number 1 to go live here tonight in this broadcast as we honor our great ancestors. The Honorable Malcolm X here tonight. Malik El-Haj Shabazz, we honor our great ancestor tonight as we examine and we qualify ourselves through answering those questions that have been given to us as research points, as marching orders, as instruction from our great ancestor Malcolm X, who asked us to observe these objectives, goals, results, and methods, asked for us to look into the Mau Mau Rebellion. And as we gain this information, it should be powering us to move on the ground. We cannot just take this and sit with this and let it just be words or whatever. You know, we get caught up in ourselves and thinking that we know something. But there is no love lost for the house nigga in a black revolution. So we do not go easy on Negroes. We understand that there in this black revolution, as it's been clarified to us by the great Malcolm X, we understand that there's a false independence that has been put over the people we learn and we know that it is not a democracy, but a disguised hypocrisy. And of course, then it becomes the concern of the cracker. It becomes the concern of America that they keep black people under the impression that what we are living in is a choice of our own, that we have made some type of investment here, and the only investment that we've been made is a forced investment, that we have some type of hope here under these conditions. We find ourselves totally convinced in many ways, the masses of people, that we live in an independent, free state as America continues to tell the age lie now that this is the land of the free and the home of the brave, but it is the land of the thieves and the home of the slaves. That is America, and has been clarified by our great honorable ancestor Malcolm X, America means prison. That is what America means. We're here in America, we're in prison. We're in prison, and the prison industrial complex continues to imprison our brothers and our sisters. We are encapsulated in this nation in more ways than the physical prisons, and in too many ways to count. We're in prison in every single way on a socioeconomic stage in this country. We are in some way in prison, and then we are exploited. We are in prison in the prison industrial complex. We're exploited for labor. When we are in prison mentally and in any other way on the streets in the American ghettos, we are exploited in many ways. It is then that we recognize here in the new Black Panther Party as revolutionaries, as black nationalists. We recognize that America is a neo-colonialist state. We understand that the black nation is to be independent from America because of the fact that we've been dependent, not by choice, to America. It makes us a client state. When we continue to beg, or we continue to feel as though it is our competing in this system that is going to bring about some kind of freedom, a liberation, we understand that we continue to be economically exploited by interests which are foreign to many of us. The IMF, the World Bank, these global financiers are foreign and keep their faces and their business far out of the media. But as Malcolm teaches us and clarifies to us, the controlled press knows of this. But instead of telling the truth, which they are not capable of doing, we find ourselves being labeled as a criminal element, as we are struggling and fighting to survive, as we live under a neo-colonialist client state, non-independent state. America owes debt to damn near everybody, but everybody owes us. We do not owe this nation anything. We are not always thinking in the right frame of mind. We're not independent in America because we are able to choose which corporation will exploit our labor. Although we recognize we must fight and we must have what it is to take care of our families, we must work to produce independent economic structure. This, then we have black nationalists allow for us to build our black nation. We understand that America and this nation, as we talk about the dangers of the controlled press that Malcolm battled with, and how these imperialists, how these devils, how these crackers, how they use all types of propaganda in order to highlight, in order to begin to try and to devise a way that they can use religion, a way that they can use a culture, a subculture, a race, or a political ideology and to continue to oppress the masses. They will go into different parts of the community and push different agendas, trying to manipulate the minds of black people. This, then the controlled press, then propagates this on your local news, trying to put it in your mind who you will vote for, who, if you will vote or not, when the truth of the matter is that the vote does not move us any closer to freedom. Nobody has ever voted their way into freedom. And we will not be the first to do it. It's not going to happen. If history is best qualified, then we will find that no nation has ever voted themselves out of oppression, has ever voted themselves from not being murdered by their enemy. They have only stood up against their enemy armed, and they beat the enemy through warfare through an extended period of time, and we are living in that battle. Martial law is not coming. It is here. We live in martial law, and we've been living in martial law. Don't let the white man fool us, as clarified to us by Malcolm X. Don't let the white man fool you with his pretty sounding words. It's the same goddamn cracker, the same trick. At this time, we find that times have not changed much since the great honorable Malcolm X walked the face of this earth. We find that America finds itself today faced with a real genuine war with black people who do not care about the odds and are willing to fight for their independence. And whenever a nation is faced with genuine independence, you find that the nation increases and compels and increases itself into all types of encirclements and corruption and subversions, and they get more increasing with the killing and the lies. The heat is on America right now. We should recognize the building temperature in America as America is falling. There are those who we may not even recognize that there are battles going on in our own community. In fact, if we are not with our eyes fully open, fully watching, America uses its neo-colonialist, racist, demonic, wicked, sick, murderous political ideology to promote political exploits, economic and political exploitation. This puppet they're trying to set up, as they did in the days of Malcolm, they are trying to subvert the revolutionary and liberation movement. We cannot let this happen. Those who come on the scene who are not going by the standard of what it means to be, as it has been clarified to us too many times for too long, to be a revolutionary in the liberation movement for the struggle for our independence, and they are going against the people or working with the enemy, then in fact they are agents of puppet regimes, puppet governments, and they will keep us in this position if we do not call them out and deal with them accordingly. It is through the wicked neo-colonialist, sick, racist, demonic, decadent political ideology of the white man that they have put it in the people's minds. Just call the police. Just call the police if something goes on. And the pigs come and kill black people when they come. We cannot trust. And it is the same as when America goes to another nation, as America we find. We have to look at history again. And we find when America goes to a nation, they take their troops. And they go to other nations, they go and they try to get that nation on military assistance and economic aid. But they don't do it by asking. They don't sign no papers. They bomb that nation. They kick down the door. They pillage the nation that they always have done. And then as a slap in the face, kicking a man while he's down, they then force those people on military assistance and government aid. It's the same as we have been put into this position. We were brought here against our will. Those of us who were here were murdered, colonized, all of us, in fact, right? And it is through the murder and the brutality. And then all of a sudden they tell us now that these pigs, these Klansmen are protection, and that we can trust the economic system of America. When the pigs were invented to hunt down black people trying to remove themselves from the plantation slavery, and that the economic system was built off of backs of whipped, bloody, worked to death slaves who are our ancestors, who their blood is in the seams of this earth. We ought to be crazy to think that we can vote on any level our way out of this situation that it then would in many ways, be of a complete contrary to the great teachings of our great ancestor, the Honorable Malcolm X, and all of our great ancestors. We got to get real and face straight facts. The only way we get out of this is by us identifying and dealing with this goddamn white man. And as it's been asked for us to do in that great work, that great piece that was delivered by Malcolm X in What is Black Revolution, he asked that we identify the objectives, goals, results, and methods of revolution. We talked about the Mau Mau Rebellion. We talk about a client state, a false independence, a sham independence. It's not real. It does not exist. These are the things that the white man does, uses propaganda and psychological warfare. And we find today it is more wicked than it ever has been. But we should identify this, because as we struggle against these puppet governments, these house niggas, and the goddamn white man, and we struggle against all forms of oppression, we find ourselves in a position where we must work to develop and control the narrative of this, which is a genuine liberation movement that we have and that the white man has right on his doorstep, but we have in our hands to choose to continue to control the narrative of our liberation movement, that it is not combated with the puppet movement, Uncle Tom movement, a house nigger movement, an integrationalist movement, that our movement is not combated with something that is counter-revolutionary. We must accept this challenge. We must destroy the threats. White supremacy is a myth. That's why we say so-called. It is a mentality that has been put on us through brutality and oppression. We must defend ourselves, arm ourselves. The white man uses propaganda to prevent us from doing just that. Well, he, the white man in America, whose greatest strength, well, we'll say just by being political analysts, everyone believes that America's greatest strength is its military. You would think, if you didn't know any better, of course, that America then would understand the people that would defend themselves, but America cannot understand that their ex-slaves want to be free because too many niggas are walking around here kissing a white man's ass. They really believe sometimes that the masses of the people do not want to be free. We do not believe that. We think better of ourselves. We want better for ourselves. We want the whole damn thing, not a piece of it. All of the land that circumnavigates the globe, all of the lakes and oceans, and everything belongs to us. By nature, we are really being generous. Seriously, reparations is more than just a word when it is the due for the hell that we continue to face. We are not done facing the evils of this cracker. We face it every day. We have not been removed from the ghettos. And still today, in the ghettos of America, they will send our children to school and teach them about a cracker Jew Holocaust, a punk-ass five-year Holocaust, some white-on-white crime, some white religious fanatic beef that have nothing to do with us and our children. But they will teach that to our children, and they will tell them about the ghettos in Germany, about the ghettos in Auschwitz. These low-down, no-good devils, we still in the ghettos of Detroit. We still in the ghettos of Inglewood. We still in the ghettos of New York. We still in the ghettos in America. The hell you talking about? Some fucking Jewish Holocaust remembrance. When we're facing a black Holocaust, when we're the ones that are being murdered, we will not let people call Malcolm X a civil rights activist when he spoke boldly against that theory. In fact, he was a black nationalist. He was a revolutionary. He was and is a warrior in our midst. Today, that same spirit that is in us, and if we do not activate that spirit, we will continue to believe these sick, down-low lies And if we do not examine history, we will continue to find ourselves in these positions. When a nation, well, I'll go back. The white man uses propaganda, family, to prevent the liberation movement. In fact, this is why we have and have had and suffer from today as the most honorable Elijah Muhammad calls the white man the universal snooper. We find this white man coming up with all types of different devices to spy on, to collect data from, and to watch the revolutionary, those who they call the radicals, those who they call the extremists. In fact, we are not even, in fact, we are the most clear in mind. We are the most critical in thinking. But again, the white man will use propaganda to prevent a liberation movement from getting underway. It has not been successful here, though. But we must examine it so it does not become successful by destroying it as a source and by undermining many times the white man will use propaganda to try to undermine the will to fight of our people, to try to lower the morale of our people to fight. They know who is and who is not a revolutionary. They know these niggas that's going around here and they nevolutionary. They know these niggas that are not really about what they say they are. They are scum. And if you do your research on them, you find smut. And a white man is able to use that to manipulate them into different positions and use them against our genuine liberation struggle. This is how you have these snitches and things of that nature. Family, we have to look at it. It is propaganda that is used to try to destroy the morale of the will to people, the will of our people to fight. Now, as we are in present day and as we do have, revolutionary warfare has begun. It has never stopped. It is a continuation. There has always been a rebellion against the white man. There has always been a revolt against the white man. So long before we've been able to define for many of us what revolution is, as has been expressed and clarified to us many times on this broadcast, more especially tonight by our great ancestor Malcolm X, you need a revolution. We need a revolution. We are living in that day. The white man will use methods, as Malcolm X asked for us to examine the objectives, to examine the goals, to examine the results, and to examine the methods of a revolution. Well, we then must examine the methods used by our enemy to prevent a revolution. Therefore, we must understand that our enemy will use methods such as trying to counter us, by trying to grant some type of economic stimulus or trying to grant some type of lie, set up a straw man. They will even go so far as to label us as extremists and radicals and say that we're not clear of thought and clear of mind. They will try to use our passion against us. And it is when a target, when a country, when a people, country, or continent is softened up by that propaganda, become chumps, and believe the enemy, then the invasion of the priests come. Huh? Right? Because when you don't have people that are saying, as Malcolm says, we must leave our religion at home, you will have the religious fanatics come in after those people have been softened by the blows of the propaganda that come one after the other every day on Fox, CNN, NBC, CBS. The controlled press, as Malcolm says, continues to use their platforms. So today, religious fanaticism is more real than it's ever been in the black community. In fact, these churches, pastors, preachers, imams, and these religious facilities, ministers, and all of them, they're nothing but religious fanatics. They're nothing but greedy pigs. And they are against the black revolution. In fact, they are continuing to enslave the minds of the people. Very few of them tell the people the truth. And if they did, we know about them. In fact, because they don't exist. It is very few of them. They exist, but it is very few of them. We must understand that when a nation, when a people, country, continent, group of people who are being oppressed are beaten down by the propaganda. This is why we talk about the propaganda so much. This is why Malcolm talked about the controlled press so much. It is when the moral teaching starts, the American spirit bullshit gets in. The Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, information agencies, international financial aid organizations come in. Big banks and people who are saying that they are coming to bring aid. In this way, we find that a group of people can be conquered without there ever being a single gun drawn. If we are not careful, we will allow for the controlled press to have us believing that our friends are our enemies and our enemies are our friends. If we are not careful, we will allow for the controlled press to inoculate African people with the wicked Pfizer vaccine, Moderna, or whoever these devils are. If we are not careful, the controlled press, as it escalates its propaganda campaign against the revolutionaries of this nation, we will have to bring this system, this propaganda system, to an end. What we will find as we study history and revolution, that every time a revolution goes down, there is an immediate seizing of the controlled press. There is a counter press that comes up. And that's what you're listening to every night when you tune in to this radio broadcast. This is not for entertainment. We do not care if it makes you feel good to hear us beat up on a white man. Because to be quite honest, we need to beat up on our goddamn selves, suck ourselves straight, wake up, clean up, and stop acting like every day is a goddamn celebration. We are not free in this nation. We are not free in Africa. We are not free anywhere on this planet because of the same goddamn white man who brought us here, who colonized us here, is still on this earth causing mayhem and disrespecting our ancestors. And somebody's got to tell the truth. And that is why we broadcast here every night. It is not to entertain. It's not for any of that. We're bringing the true reality of a nation who is struggling for liberation and to be free from a wicked, oppressive nation that could care less. Could care less if our elders live. They created the coronavirus. Do you think they give a damn who dies from it? They have released this virus along with China. It was Dr. Lieber. It was and is Anthony Fauci, who are the creators of the coronavirus. The truth has to be told. It is inside of the vaccine that you have mercury, a poison that is so deadly that it could melt the very insides of your body, but you are allowing for them to stick it in your veins and in the veins of our babies and our elders. It is insanity. It is insanity for us to talk about how much we love Malcolm, but you will stick out your arm and let them shoot you up with mercury, formaldehyde, and inside of the vaccine. They have managed to put in their nanobotic robot, smaller than a microscopic. You can't even see it with a microscope. Family, we've been reporting on this now for 440 days. We have backed and verified our research, and we challenge anybody to come and step and tell us that what we are saying is not true when the white man has told you what's inside the vaccine. He told you that there are expired baby fetuses in the vaccine. He told you that the vaccine is not going to cure or treat you. But just because the white man says jump, you said how high, nigga, he said up here, and he stuck you with the vaccine. And all we can do now is pray that our people don't lose their lives behind another bout of foolishness. And we have fell into a dizzy spell as we continue to be knocked over the head by this goddamn white man. Time is up. We need a black revolution today. We need to do a right now revolution. It is right in our faces. We are wasting time believing that any other solution that has was been given to us by our great ancestors, we would like to even sit and argue about who said it better, whose ideology, they've done their work. Now it's on us. The question is truly then, what are we going to do? We've given a solution that we can heal ourselves. We talked about the natural healing alternatives to the wicked medical apartheid system of this government. We will continue to do that. We have played great medical geniuses because that's all we have. That's all we have is a great legacy of African genius after African genius after African genius. Stop the set tripping, Africans. Stop the set tripping. The white man, the English, the French, the all of them, God damn it, all of these crackers went around the globe and colonized Africans. Stop the set tripping, nigga. Here in America, you will set trip on one block to the next block. But we will tell you, brother, and we will tell you, sister, that those blocks are the same blocks that were used to auction us off to other people. And they sold our bodies as labor. And it is still happening today as those blocks now house the prison and jail institutions that our brothers and our sisters are locked in to this day. They are re-continuing and modernizing a chattel slavery into a modern slavery inside of the prison industrial complex. Brothers who could be more promising here are doing time in there for not crimes against humanity, not crimes at all, but for trying to find their place in production, trying to find their place in a society that rejects them. Our sisters in there, in the prison industrial complex, not because they have committed crimes against humanity. No, because they are in there because they are reacting. They are reacting to a situation where they live in a world where sexism, misogyny, rape, murder, and the disrespect of black women is okay. Because in our minds, we still believe in a sick, sadistic male self-man masturbating God that puts the woman on the bottom, the man on the top, separates the black man from the black woman. And we know that we come from a great legacy of the black woman, the black man, the black child, and the black family. So far, we have been removed from our root. And so far, we have been removed from our nature. And so deep we have become in this wicked system of America. But we ain't free. We can be as sad as we want to be. We are not free. The only way that we're going to get free, the only way that the prison industrial complex, those walls come down, black women and black men, our young brothers and sisters, their lives are stopped at 13, 14 for a little disagreement in the classroom. They're labeled as criminals. The community is labeled as a criminal element to what is happening to us. Our brothers and sisters don't need to be in there. We have political prisoners who are in prison, not because they have committed crimes against humanity, because they have simply decided to stand and fight and live, and if the time calls for, to die for the liberation of African people, but we want to live, right? We have a prize, our life is our most prized possession. We don't even think about it because we know that what we are doing is righteous. But in fact, America, the white man, the Asian, the Arab, the so-called Jew, they have gone all around this globe committing crimes against humanity, and their people are not accosted as ours are. So in fact, then we can clearly see we need a revolution. Right? So then there should be no disagreeing with the new Black Panther Party on this. There should be no disagreeing with ourselves as brothers and sisters every day as we just discuss these things in our homes. There should be more political education in the homes of America for black people. There should be more conversation on the African-centered cultures and spirituality. There should be more honest, open conversation on the horrors that we were going to face in this nation. But there should also be conversation on how we should work to define, develop, and defend our own nation, separate from America. And America will absolutely pay reparations, or the cracker's going to pay. It's not a game. See, this is warfare, and our demand is reparations, and our demand will remain. We're not moving off of this. America will pay in land. Oh, it's a bet. America will pay in diamonds. America will pay in dollars. America will pay in the resources that they have stolen from us, and there will be no peace on this planet as long as the African people, the original people, the first people, the people of the Almighty Wise God created. There'll be no peace on this planet until we are reparated, until we are free. And it goes for us too. If we think that we're going to find some peace, you can go where you want to go. There'll be no peace until we deal with the problem that we all face. And that is why one of us, one individual, can be living the life, family, billion, trillionaire, living it up. Why doesn't that help all of us? Do we ever wonder that? Because we are whole. It only works for one of us. See, the white man is naturally wicked. His nature is to kill. His nature is to be a bloodthirsty devil. That is the nature. Sure, some of them may not want it to be, but it is. It's the fact. They may not like it, but it's the fact. You see the crackers out there mad at their parents. They don't like the fact that all of their ancestors are rapists, colonizers, and pedophiles. All of them. All of them. Every cracker in history has been a devil. It is the truth. Nobody can deny it. Look at our ancestors. Just look at them. That is why they try to make our greats today devils. Do you see? Do we see? Because they're trying to, which they cannot, rewrite legacy of greatness, righteousness, and the builders of civilization. All of their ancestors are pedophiles, murderers, rapists, dogs, cavemen, cave bitches. This is what they are. Now, they are successful at being wicked. They have taken their culture in stride. They love to tell us how they hunt, to just kill. They love to eat meat raw, bloody. They love the taste of blood. They are people of war and bloodshed. They are vicious savages, and they succeed in that. This is the nature of the white man. But as Africans, our nature, the original people, our nature is not to war with one another. It's, so when we do it, we find ourselves where? Unsuccessful. Just think about it. Our nature is not to be wicked. Our nature is not to be criminal. Our nature is, but we're put in a position to where our reactions overrides our critical thoughts. And we begin to only act in the conscious. And we negate the subconscious. We forget who we are because we're always being told who to be. These are the results of the white American revolution. They are evident in us. America sits at the head of all the criminal mafia shit that goes on in the world. And we honestly cannot believe then that there's no way, unless it's coming from us, that it is a solution to get out of this. See, it is the wisdom of our great ancestor Malcolm X that powers us, that moves us to be able to analyze teachings that have been with us for 60 years now. But we must take these teachings as marching orders and let us move in the same light or similar too. You listen here every night to New Black Panther Party Radio. We love our black family, but we can't be on here talking all sweet. And y'all know we don't even talk like that. Come on, we're not going to be fake. Everything we say is based on us analyzing and understanding the reality of our people. It is not sweet. It is not lovely. It is nothing good about the way that we live here. So we must reverse this. It's not a negative point of view on any of that. Optimism comes with nationalism, because it is through nationalism that you begin to see the clear difference between feeling as though there's a chance here in these conditions and moving in our everyday life to control our economy, in our personal life, that we would develop entrepreneurship and have our own economy, that we would have then the time then. We are not so accessible by the white man. We would have the time then to spend on our own nation building. We would be able to take the skills that we have had exploited from us by our enemy to build our own nation. This is optimism. Why don't we give the next generation optimism instead of talking an optimism that clearly does not exist if we continue with the same shit we have been doing? There's always been revolution. There will always be revolution. And since we said from the beginning of the start of the release of this coronavirus, we will continue to broadcast on this radio station. We will continue to have the New Black Panther Party Radio, because we understand the necessity that we have the truth, because for 24 hours a day, the crack of lies and lies and lies, because that is the nature of the white man. And for two of those hours, you are joined here, and we thank everybody for listening to New Black Panther Party Radio, or the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, on our national chairwoman, Sister Krista Muhammad. Join the New Black Panther Party. Visit our national website, mbpp.org. Send a donation to the revolutionaries. The work that we do is a costly work, not only financially, but in every other way. We appeal to the humanitarian and our people. If you have it, send a donation to the New Black Panther Party. You can do it through Cash App, $BlackPowerDollar, New Black Panther Party Radio, this day 439, as we continue to honor our great ancestor in the lead up to his born day, which will be on the 19th. Here is part two of honoring our great ancestor Malcolm X. We have clarified tonight what is Black Revolution. We hope that everybody got a lot from this broadcast. Tune in tomorrow night, and the next night, and the next night. We love you, family. Black power, freedom of death.
Well, we want to welcome you to our rally, our unity rally, for a united black front, to unite all factions of our people, to unite every one of the 20 million so-called Negroes into one group. And you'll notice, whenever the white man thinks that we're going to call a rally to knock our own kind, you see him jammed out here. He wants to hear us say something against King or against Bunch or against Farmer, against someone of our own kind. He jams out here. But when you call a rally for black people to unite, let's get together, you don't see too many white folks then. They don't like black people to get together in unity and harmony. As long as you and I are going to attack each other or talk about each other or heap scorn and ridicule upon each other, the white man gets his kick. But when he knows that we're going to come together in unity and harmony, he won't get his kick. He will get kicked. When you see you and I getting together, it is because we have begun to realize that we have a common enemy. And the only time we'll be able to come together with a common objective and a common goal is when we first develop a common motive. And that motive is best developed by recognizing the common enemy. And that common enemy is the white man. I say that common enemy is the white man. The white man is your enemy, whether you are a Baptist, whether you are a Methodist, whether you are a Episcopalian, or whether you are a Muslim, or whether you are a Mason, or whether you are an Elk. If you find yourself running into opposition when you're looking for freedom, justice, and equality, or some kind of right, you have to agree, always the one who opposes your right is the white man. some old blue-eyed, blonde-haired, bad-smelling white man. When he puts his club upside your head, he doesn't care whether you're a Baptist, a Methodist, but he does want to know whether or not you're a Muslim. Because he knows if you're a Baptist or a Methodist, you're going to turn the other cheek. You're going to try and love your enemy. You're going to pray for them that despitefully use you. So he's not worried about you.